these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. The world is waking up, and this is the tipping point.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scott McKay coming to you live on Patriot Street Fighter, American Media Periscope, broadcasting for us tonight. I'm not really sure how it's looking on your end, but I noticed in the very beginning, it looked like we had some disruption there. Don't know how well the internet's doing tonight. I hope we have a good roll through and a good play, because we got a very special guest tonight. Jessica, I shot you over the cover, and I emailed it as well. So if you are able to bring that up, pull that up on the screen while I'm doing the introduction here, give you the cue, that will be great. So folks, here we are. We're back in Dallas, finally off the road. Had quite a 3-week run and had a great event up in Pennsylvania. Came into Kentucky. Did a meet and greet there with some amazing people at Synergy, people we had visited last year when we had gone to an event there in Lexington, had a meet and greet there, moved on to Tennessee, met some amazing people there, amazing connecting consciousness people, had some of the most bizarre shit I have ever seen, the only bizarre shit I've ever seen at any event. I don't even know what to say about it yet at this point. Highly disappointing at the Nashville event that we did on a Tuesday night, the 25th. Not going to discuss it, at least not at this point right now. But all I can say is we ended up coming back to Dallas and had a quick trip to Mar-a-Lago. Had a small gathering together with Donald Trump, a few other people. That was pretty exciting. Had Tom Homan there, former ICE director. Total badass. Tom's going to be coming on Patriot Street Fighter. Tom, unbelievable badass, the ICE director. Chris Bergard has directed a film showing what's going on the border. That's going to be coming out. We're going to promote it like crazy because it's pretty devastating, folks, to what is happening, not just to America on that border. What's happening is the unbelievable amount of deaths that are happening because the Brandon regime, the criminals in government, are doing everything they can to get as many people across that border. And the death toll, folks, on these kids and people, rape trees, all kinds of stuff, the things that I saw are absolutely devastating. We'll talk more about that. And also, so we had a chance to see Trump. He looked great. Talked about bringing Homan back, and he said, and we'll talk about what we're going to do here pretty soon. So that man, he's going to talk about likely what his plans are. And then we came back and the very next day took off for Branson. As you can tell, I'm a little, I'm a little under speed right now. So we had an unbelievable event in Branson. It was the last of 18 months, month to month, all the Reawaken America Tour events, of course, participated and spoke at all of them over 18 months, 17 months, I guess you should say, 17. That was number 17. And it was a remarkable event, huge crowd. I got a chance to meet so many beautiful people, as always, a lot of Patriot Street Fighters out there. And so we're back here now sitting for a little bit. I got one more thing I got to do in Phoenix, and that'll be next, I think, Sunday, Monday. And after that trip, I am staying home for a while. And I'm going to go do some physical labor, get back to my blue collar roots. And I don't know, talk to the trees, horses, whatever. Saw a scorpion today. That was pretty badass. I'm actually grabbed my tractor, my chainsaw, went up on the hill. Another project going on. That pile of trees bulldozed into a pile. So I'm up there cutting firewood, free firewood. And so a chainsaw down, turned over, log scorpion. I'm like, no shit. I gotta be careful. So anyways, here we are back in Cinderella, back in Dallas. I'm just going to tell you what we're going to talk about tonight is something that obviously is a treasure. I have a treasure viewpoint for reasons that are obvious, and you'll see. But not only that, because of the impact that one man had on the country in a way without being in public service, yet captured the hearts and minds of many people for a very, very long time, from the time he was this tall. That's JFK Jr., a beautiful human being that the world has yet to experience, many people in the world. So, yes, we're all hopeful. We all have ideas that there's a possibility that there was a military operation to protect him and his family from these Khazarian mafia Satanists who ruthlessly murdered his father just down the street from where I live. I roll over the Kennedy X when I'm on my bike most nights up until recently, but most nights decompressing on my bike, rolling over the Kennedy X to go do my 2-hour decompression ride at night. Anything that's dangerous, but there's lights everywhere around DFW. But so anyways, George Magazine, we're going to talk about that tonight. An unbelievable rocket ship that came off the launch pad here just in the last week. And JFK Jr. was the editor-in-chief of that magazine. I used to read it every month on an airplane from 1996 up to, I don't know if it was 1999 when he was a years to 2000, I was on a plane every single month to the Northeast from Los Angeles. Story behind the relaunch of George Magazine and the individual who is highly as the new editor has an unbelievable story himself in his life, in his world, a price he paid for his belief in America and what's important to humanity. And he paid a heavy price for it in his own right, has his own story. It's amazing how when you do the right thing, you walk the right walk. The universe finds a way to go in motion. It's part of God's quantum realm, your creator's quantum realm. It moves with you when you're moving, as Sasha says, in truth and right action. So the launch of George online has been beyond remarkable, and we're going to hear about that now. In fact, if we could bring up the cover shot of George that was just brought back, and there you can see it. Pretty cool because you see our beloved president right dead center and our beloved editor to the right. Let's go ahead and bring that up again, Jessica. If you can, right smack in the middle. And in fact, if we can make that our third guest tonight, we'll keep it up the whole time. So anyways, now let's bring Gene back in there if you can. That is Gene Ho, folks. And if we can bring that magazine back up there. Couple things I want to point out on the magazine cover. Of course, you see Donald Trump. And what's pretty cool here is on the to the left, you'll see a Q there. You'll see 17 in the lantern. And there's a few other things in there I can't pick out right now. But anyway, so obviously there was a sit down with Scott McKay, Patriot Street Fighter. I got to tell you, probably the honor of my lifetime. There's an interview with the Commander's Artist. The Commander's Artist has done some unbelievable paintings, artwork, and he did one of me. And I was told by him, General Flynn had asked him to do one of these It's like this tall. I don't know how many feet that is, about this wide. And Gene knows that. He's seen it. And I showed up at an event a couple months ago, and he pulled me aside and said, I want to show you something, and I got something for you. And I went to his table, and he opened this up. I'm like, holy shit, bro. Are you kidding me? He said, how do you like it? I said, how do I like it? If somebody grabbed some crayons and a piece of paper, Crayola crayons, and did a picture, a portrait of me, I'd be enamored. Just that. This was incredible. Commissioned, he said, by General Flynn to do that. And it was stunning. And then Jessica Wright does this amazing work. Again, Patriot Street Fighter. And then along comes Gene Ho, the editor of George Magazine. And I just want to tell you something, folks. Most people would take all this in stride. Oh, yeah, of course. Sure. I would expect to be on the cover of George. I expect nothing. I'm enamored still of anything that's happened to Patriot Street Fighter. I shake my head so often. I'm like, holy shit, how? And I was telling my sister today, all I can say is that kind of universe is, I guess, granting me something for having stayed the course for decades on my path. Walked alone a lot of that time, never gave up. And of course, now here we are in a fight for our life and our country. And I get to do it in ways I never imagined. But without all of you, there is no Patriot Street Fighter. There's no movement. There's no Operation Tomahawk. And there's no value, because without we the people, and without being on a mission to save the country, none of this matters. If we lose the country, and I lose we the people, none of this means shit. But we're not losing people. We're gaining them. We're not losing the country. We're going to get it back. And Gene Ho completely blew me away with that wonderful spread. And so, Mr. Ho, I have nothing but love you. We brought Cruz Ho on stage, introduced the crowd to the next generation of Patriot Street Fighter, with his commemorative tomahawk, Cruz Ho. And apparently he thinks I'm a superhero. Dean says he's
well, hey, you know what? Scott, seriously, if you can go to georgeonline.com, we put that video of him, my son, who's 12 years old, when you took him on stage. And I tell you what, you just totally made his day. But if you go there and just see the actual crowd that goes to these Reawaken America events, you will know what is going on in America, is that we the people are taking America back. And you can just see it. Just go there, George Online, and see the crowd that was there at that event.
Yeah, it is truly remarkable. The crowds continue to grow. The energy grows. You got people like Cash Patel and Eric Trump and Mike Lindell. Of course, Patrick Byrne, bombshells dropped on that stage. Your story is amazing. So many great speakers and patriots. There's a fever pitch here. And I think, you know, the two most powerful things that I see in this movement now is the momentum that the Reawaken America tour has brought to the country. Clay Clark, General Flynn, throwing all in. General, I had conversations with General Flynn this past weekend privately. The price he's paid in his life for his country, he could be out on these boards of these big MIC companies making millions of dollars like every other TV general does. He's not doing that. He's fighting for the country. We had this conversation. I said on the stage early on with Patriot Street Fighter, Gene, I said, you know what, when I started going full throttle after these people like the George H.W. Bush, calling him what he is, traitor to the nation, pedophile, child killer, sex trafficker, drug runner, leader of the Fourth Reich Nazi, etc. And I said, a friend of mine said, you know what, you better become very well known very fast, because they're going to kill you. And General said, you know, Scott, he said, it's like you said today, he said, same with me. He said, we don't win this thing. They're going to kill me. They're going to kill my family. There are massive prices being paid here. Gene, you paid a price because you took a job with Donald Trump, and it's just a job. And you, from the leftist world of Hollywood, your philosophies was from the leftist world. You were in that bowl of soup where it's hard not to pull that flavor into your DNA, and you were with them, and you took a job with Donald Trump as his photographer for 2016, and after a period of time, you saw the truth. You saw the man you were taught to hate was a beautiful human being with immense power on a spiritual and a human level to take on a horrible enemy and save humanity in this country. And you then made a public statement that this man is the one who should be president. You lost your company. 22 photographers walked out of your company. You're the top celebrity photographer in Hollywood, hugely successful. Hollywood turned her back on you. You got completely wiped out. You stayed the course. And then you get this gift, a treasured, deserved gift, to become editor of George coming back. So many beautiful things happened, Gene.
Here's the thing, Scott, with that. You know, in what world do you make it after 30 years to the top of your industry? Photographing movie stars, musical stars, hanging out with them, sports stars, everything. And then the cherry on top of it is I become the photographer for the president of the United States. And then after that point, I go broke. At what point did I ever imagine that would happen? But I tell you, Scott, you know, things have a way of making itself right. And I'm telling you, the Lord has blessed me and now put me in this position to be editor-in-chief of George. And I'm going to make the best of it. And we're going to take this and we're going to show America what true patriots look like. And that's why, by the way, Scott, we chose you to be on the cover. The very first cover, we said, it's got to be Scott McKay. And it's what you have done so far, and is it the people also that you have inspired. So thank you, and we're honored, likewise, to have you on the cover.
My fork in mind is still blown to pieces, dude. I don't know what to say. I still can't. I mean, I'm gonna break down like a little schoolgirl and have a little cry here. but to realize that I have meant that much to someone like you or your son, or even other people in the movement, it's overwhelming, and
hey. I'm going to tell you, it's well deserved. And, you know, when I first met you here and I heard you talk, there's something to be said about courage. And that's what's going on. These people on the stage are filled with courage. Mm-hmm. And what they don't want, the deep state, is they don't want to see courage in action. Because when you see courage in action, it inspires all the other people in the audience. That's why the Reawaken Tour is growing. It's because of people like you. And like I said, I don't know if you guys ever seen Scott McKay in person, but the entrance that you make and then the people cheering at the end of your talk, it's just amazing. And that's why we not only chose to feature you, we chose to put that video of you giving my son the tomahawk, not only because it was my son, it was really cool and he's really excited about it, but I want to show people the crowds. Every seat was filled. I think 4,000 seats there. Every seat was filled, and everyone was standing up and cheering when you finish your talk. It's amazing, Scott.
Well, what a way to cap it with my buddy Cruz. I mean, I look at this kid. I mean, think about where he's coming from in his quest, you know. Plus, he's a cute, good-looking young boy. I look at his hair. I'm like, that pisses me off. Why can't I have hair like Cruz Ho? He's such a good kid, total stud. He's only 12
years old. Well, I want to say something, Scott. You know, for a 12-year-old, he cannot name a single NFL player, Major League Baseball player. He cannot name any of that. I don't even think he can name a movie star, to be honest. But every speaker on that tour, he knows him. He knows a background. And he goes, you know what? That's who I look up to. I look up to Patriot Street Fighter. And I'm telling you, Scott, you totally made his day. It was just like, when you see the video, I think I sent it to you, just look at his smile on his face. I mean, it's like, it's incredible. And I want to thank you for that.
Well, believe me, it was well-earned, well-deserved. And I think certainly it'll inspire that generation of Patriot Street Fighters. Cause I get these youngsters all the time. That's why we do the battle face with them. They get all pumped up. Sometimes they get the hold of Tomahawk and they'll be like this, you know, in the picture. That stuff lights my soul up, man. I just, just to see these young kids get totally fired up. And one kid said, is there a doll of you out there anywhere I can buy? I'm like,
like, G.I. Joe. Well, that's what That's what's next.
You're going to get a Pedro Street Fighter doll with a motorcycle.
We'll have the different jackets, like the red jacket. You could turn the different jacket. Yeah. For me, the Gene Ho doll is just black clothes all the time. So he might change the shoes out. I don't know.
Exactly. It gives you that mysterious Eastern kind of aura about you. So the magazine, the amazing thing about the magazine was what I learned early from you was people trying to go order merchandise. Commemorative magazines. Now, the commemorative magazines are not cheap,
yes,
but there's a reason for it because they're special magazines. Obviously, you know, they're $175. There's a reason for that. And imagine what they're going to be down the road. And so
right.
I know
there's only 2,400 of them. And what we did limited. Differently than, yes, the printer prints it off. So when the first one rolls off the press on those limited, it's marked number one. The second one, of course, is number two, number three. So when you get yours, it will have a specific number. And there's only, of the limited edition ones, only 2,400 of them. And so we already know what the old Georges are going for. They're like $1,000 a piece. And they printed tons of them. So we did it this way. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, Scott, the response has been amazing. And I know this with George, the people behind it is very good. And I'm going to tell you, the money that is collected from this is being done for much good. That's all I can say about that, because I don't want to overstep what it is, but it's being done for good. And this is a noble cause, I could tell you that.
I know there's some beautiful things behind the Gene Ho curtain that remain there. And I'd say probably rarefied air. And I think at some point in the world, our souls are going to be filled because we're going to learn some things on your mission here. I will ask, I guess I should request, since I bought some of the commemorative ones, if possible, I would like to, I don't even know if they could be spoken for, but I'd like to have the third one because three has always been my lucky number. If there's a three coming off the press, and I bought a stack of them, so if one of those be number three, you don't mind shoving number three my way, that'd be awesome. But not just that, the t-shirts with the magazine cover, right?
Yeah.
And you know, you try to order some of those things and they're not going through because the site is getting overwhelmed and crushed. People want right. a piece of George online. It's amazing.
Scott, it's only been out for a week, and I tell you, the response is amazing. And it's great for me because when we started this, we didn't want George to be what we called DOA, dead on arrival. Basically, you start it up and no one's buying it and no one cares, but it's the complete opposite. We have been absolutely flooded with response to this. And like I said, there's more things coming out in the future. I can't tell them here, but I promised you a long time ago, like I will bring it all on your show first. But the point is, there's a lot going on behind the scenes, and there's lots. This is the direction of America. It is oddly the perfect time and the perfect venue for what we're doing. So just everyone just wait and see, because there's a lot of good things going on in not only with George, but with America.
Well, I think I get the feeling there's something very, very big about this magazine. It's going to play a very important part of the restoration of the country. I'm just guessing. I'm speculating. You don't have to make any gestures because I'll be able to pull the energy based on your thoughts and consciousness. But I'm pulling that quantum physical shit actually, really, but it's all true. So I think that, you know, you look at the range of the articles, it's not going to be just guys like Patriot Street Fighter. There's going to be people that fall in different, mm-hmm. you know, part different areas of this spectrum, the whole gamut. By the way, I met Tomoko Jones. She was sitting at my table this past Saturday at Tomoko. Tomoko's a beautiful girl. amazing. I see why she's, you know, she's, you know, featured in your magazine, and just a beautiful, energetic soul. And we hung out for, bought her dinner, and we were in a group. And so had a chance to learn about her story coming from Japan and on this battlefield, but just a diverse array of information there in George. It's not just because, you know, I'm part of it, the first one, but, you know, and I guess I'm going to be able to write for the magazine too, which
yes,
is pretty cool.
Yes. Yes.
And by the way, I just think that it's going to be something that pulls people back in to this focus of let's have a real look at America. Let's look at all of America. Let's see what's beautiful about it. Let's see the most important parts of it. And it brings us back to that time that JFK Jr., just by his life, his presence, he usually stayed out of the public eye, but just because he was, it brought this sense of decency, honor, and dignity to the country. I mean, let's face it, he's America's favorite son. And just because there's this DNA woven into his past with a magazine, what it is now, it seems like it's going to give us some, I think, this resurrection of that spirit. He's the remaining energy frequency of his father, who, believe it or not, I was never a fan of, had no respect for John Kennedy. The media, the leftist media, who always shines and showers on Democrats, planted a lot of bad information about John F. Kennedy because he was going after their masters, the cabal powers, and they killed him. The best thing is, through the entire Q intelligence operation, is we learned exactly who JFK was, what he was doing for humanity that got him killed. And it's a resurrection of his spirit in everything that's happening today. So all this tied to George, Gene, I think it's just going to be truly remarkable for all of us that are involved in this movement to bring the country back.
Right. And Scott, I just want to let the audience know that when it comes to George, what we're doing here in our main mission here is to unite America. And the way we're going to do that is not only putting a real face on the people that are making a difference in America on the right, people like you and others, but we're also going to feature people on the left. Not so we can hate each other, but so we can see that there are real people on both sides of it. And we're going to go back to good old-fashioned agree to disagree. Basically, we're going to get people's viewpoints, and then we're going to say, listen, you know what? They're teaching us to hate each other. And we're going to, you know, take that center left and then bring it into the fold as one America. And it's going to happen.
Yeah, that was a powerful statement you made to me early on. You said that, you know, you said, like Donald Trump, I was taught to hate you, Scott. I was taught to hate Donald Trump. I was taught to hate you. And if you think about that, we had Democrats and Republicans back in the, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s. There was still a sense of dignity on some levels between these two people, these parties. They disagreed. They agreed on the concept of what we needed to do to keep America great, free, in a state of liberty. They just disagreed on how to go about it. But there was always a certain level of decorum that was applied to the political class and their interaction in front of the world. The bizarre thing, Gene, was that Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, who was the Democrat House Speaker at the time Reagan was president, they were both Irish. They were both buddies. I mean, they really enjoyed each other's company. But if they'd come out of a meeting, then they'd go in front of the cameras and Tip O'Neill would completely trash Reagan, not tell the truth about when it went on the meeting. And Reagan's like, I thought we were friends. He said, you know, we're friends after 5 o'clock, right? But during the daytime. It was a battle. Even so, there was still a sense of decency. So it doesn't exist anymore in politics since the Clintons, James Carville, Stephanopoulos. These people came on the scene in 1992. They took politics into the gutter. And I think that possibly when we discover everything about what has been done to this country by the entire political architecture, both parties, and it shocks America, we're going to come back. We're going to come back to a place where we once were. I believe that. And I believe it's going to take things like George to show how you're going to showcase this broad spectrum of philosophies and ideologies. But I can sit and read these in a magazine, things that I don't necessarily agree with, but at least I'm willing to read it so I can possibly gain some perspective over here and appreciation for why somebody thinks that way versus attack. So this may very well be that catalyst that gets us to that place in this country. Again, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say really quickly with that, that's the whole point of it. You know, it used to be in America, which our favorite pastime was arguing. If I go into a bar and I find out someone likes the Red Sox, I don't care. I'm just going to like the Yankees. And then we'll argue and, you know, tease each other and all this stuff. And then we'll have a beer. And it's not happening like that anymore. And that's what we want to bring back together to America, is that, listen, we used to argue a lot. Let's go back to arguing and not hating. Just disagree and try to convince me of your viewpoint and I convince you of my viewpoint. It's very simple, actually. Anyway. Very simple.
It is simple. I was in a place yesterday that see if I can pull it up here. I was at a place over in Colleyville. We are looking at a place to open a scalar healing center in that area of Dallas. And met this wonderful couple. They recognized me when I'm sitting there with Dr. Sandra and my partner and a few other people. And so they came over, and I'm just scrolling through here because I want to make sure I get her husband's name. But anyways, as I'm talking to them, we decide to take pictures, and then they sent me the pictures later on. And her name was Linda Davis and her husband. So wonderful couple. I think they said they were in their 70s. They didn't look like it, but we were talking about, I think, their grandkids. And I think they said that they haven't seen their grandkids for I don't know how long, because they refuse to take the mRNA spike protein producing bioweapon that's killed many people. And because they refuse to take it, they don't get to see their grandkids. This is beyond insanity, and it's where we are. And so you're right. There's this bridge that needs to be built somewhere. Somebody's got to build a bridge so both sides will start walking, you know, back and forth across it. We're going to have deaths on our hands. We're going to have people that don't make it in life. There's going to be a lot of angst because of these decisions, and there's going to be a lot of blame. Parents may, lose their children. The grandparents are going to point at the parents and say, we told you not to let them get vaccinated. Now you're going to have all of this, and it's coming. And somehow we have to get beyond it, get through it, and then have some level of forgiveness because these people didn't know what you and I know, and they weren't willing to stand their ground. So hopefully this is, George is the start of that in one of the mediums. Question I have for you. So what's happening? You've had this remarkable rise, a remarkable fall, and you stayed the course, on principle. And now I would say, justifiably and maybe arguably, you're having this remarkable rise again, certainly in the exposure of this whole thing. What does it feel like to you when this thing came out and it just boom exploded? And so much so the site is getting jammed up, crashing. People can't even buy the t-shirts at certain points of day because there's so much coming at you. What does that feel like for you? What are you thinking when you see this happening?
You know what? And I said this to many people when we started the Reawaken Tour, and this was, we just finished our 17th show. All the shows been sold out. And I think it was only, me, you, and General Flynn did every single one of the 17. I think, don't quote me on that. But my point is, when I started the tour, I was broke. My wife and I had enough money to get to Tulsa for the first show. We did not have enough money to get back home. Thank God, really. The Patriots, supported us. They bought my book. They really took care of me. But my point with this is, throughout the process, people have been coming up to me and saying, just so you know, because you were loyal to Jesus, that it's coming back to you, it's coming back to you. And they constantly said it. And lo and behold, in real time, you're seeing this. And God has restored me. And it's going to be even better as we get along. But even throughout the process, I mean, we look forward to this first day of launch. You knew about this, George, for the last 4 months. It took us that long to get it out. But we finally launched and it was there, and it was a wild success. And it's going to continue because we got issue 2 coming up. We're going to have you as a writer in putting your op-ed pieces there. But it was like, for my wife, she was like, it's finally here. But we to be honest, we knew it. We had faith that if we did what was right, that God would restore us to where what we lost. And the only thing that's missing now, you know, the Bible says it'll come sevenfold. And it's coming, and it's coming quickly, and it's overtaking us in the good way. So it's a beautiful moment, and it's a beautiful testimony to Jesus, because I know he's going to take care of us, and he has. It's already, he's already proven it.
Yeah. Do you have any hints about what the next magazine is going to look like? Are there any surprises in there you can share with us, or things to look forward to?
Yes and no. It's going to be a veterans issue. So I know the cover painted by the commander's artist is going to feature the plight of the American veterans. And I mean, it's shameful what America has happened to some of these veterans. So we're going to go with that next. But honestly, stay tuned to George, because there are a lot of things that are going to come out in time. It's going to be wonderful. And it, like I said, and I think you feel it, you feel my energy. It is the right vehicle at the right time in America. And we're going to see remarkable things, because America is finally waking up, and we've seen it this year. And we have a wonderful future if people will just embrace it, and people can just see past what the establishment has been doing to our minds, our bodies. And if you can see through that, open your eyes and you'll see a wonderful future. And it's going to be like that. And I know you know what I'm talking about, and you'll feel it. You feel the energy when we are at the Reawaken Tour. You're backstage with all of these people. Those people like General Flynn, Cash Patel, your friends and my friends, you would think they would be like scared, like, you know, like frightened. No, they're full of energy, because I am telling you, we in America are going to win.
100%. I love hearing you say that. I get chills hearing you. People, Gene, have asked me for a year and a half now or more, you know, are we going to win? I mean, are we going to be okay? And I've always said, 100%. How do you know? You sure? I'm like, listen, trust me. It's not even 100%. 1,000%. We win this time. We win it for all the marbles. We take the world back. We build the Garden of Eden. But how do you know? How do you know? I'm like, I don't even have an answer for you, other than this is the way it is. I know, because the universe is filtering it, channeling through me, every cell in my whole body, my entire psychology, my spirit, every metaphysical part of my existence has told me this is our time, where we bring it all down, we rebuild this planet in the fashion that God intended to. It's going to be the most magnificent thing that human civilization is ever going to experience, going through this transition from this third density to fourth density existence, or they call it 5D. We're making the leap we talk about in the Bible. Even though they've watered a lot of it down, pulled things out, you still have the general sense of what it all looks like. The 1,000 years of bliss, all this stuff is right on the doorstep. And those who are open to it, Gene, that energy is going to come into you if you're open to it. If you just want to believe it, meditate. To me, the difference between meditation and prayer is, here's prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for all the blessings you've given me. Please help me make my car payment, and please give me this and give me that and blah, 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 blah. Here's meditation. By the way, I stopped talking. Why? I'm listening. What are you giving me? What is my creator giving me? What do you tell me? What instructions? What are you putting into my soul, right? Somebody said to me, Gene, years ago, you'll never learn anything in life while your mouth is open. As long as you're talking, you are learning nothing. Meditation is getting you to stop thinking of the ego of what you want to say and just go in darkness and silence. Let your creator reach out to your soul and speak to you. That's what it is. Now, I think it's important to obviously honor the blessings you have, and even the blessings like, you know, being killed, coming back, all the things that I got to go through. And I was grateful for it. I was thankful for it even back then. But the most important thing is we're here. This is it. This is magnificent. Every day of my life is absolute bliss because I know I get to fight, you know, the with the Christ consciousness at my back, and we're going to be able to get rid of everything bad in the world and make everything good. And you know, things like this are an indicator. By the way, I just wanted to throw this out there. This is how cool George is. Rachel Right Side Blonde has every single issue of George there's ever been printed. When she told me that, I'm like, what? I think I had every issue ever because I read them all, but I tossed them out when I was done. She's got them all.
Yep. Like,
holy crap.
And, you know, here's the other thing with it. You know, when we're there, me and you are in the forefront of this, and we have traveled the country. By the way, I'm excited as well because just like we finished the tour and you got one more event, I think you said you had to do, but I'm done for the year. I mean, it is also nice. I mean, I'm coming back to my home, work on my yard. I bought I got a hunting license, and I got my first rifle there. And it's just interesting that, you know what, we need to go back also to our roots, which is basically the land and just enjoying nature outside and just cherishing what our father has given us in America. It is beautiful. I know, like me, Scott, I traveled almost every ounce of it by car. Mm-hmm. And I know you've seen with your amazing tour bus that you're in, you've seen America. And it is beautiful. It's a gift from God. And it's ours. We got to take dominion of it. Our father gave it to us, and all we have to do is take dominion. That's all it is. We're taking it back, and we're doing this, and this is going to be a wonderful, wonderful next couple of years, and it's going to be very, very positive. I can promise you that.
Well, you know, you brought the point up about, you know, you got your ranch, you've got, you know, you're back to nature. I've lived pretty much in concrete jungles a lot for the last 25 years, seven cities in 25 years. And, getting out of town and just getting feet on the land, even if people walk out of a building, the best way to recharge your soul is just take your shoes off, take your socks off, just get in the grass, walk around, because the earth is an sentient being like we are. We've always thought it's a rock with a bunch of trees, dirt, plants, animals, you know, oil in the surface, lava, all that BS. It's an sentient like we are. The sun is an sentient being. The planets in our solar system, they are sentient beings like us. They're occupying a different entity than we are. They're still a spiritual sentient being. All these things we never got a chance to learn about. Obviously, at the level of ascension, these type of entities are, they're positioned, or they're there for us to help us spiritually ascend, and also physically in this density, this realm. So standing and grounding yourself to this planet, Mother Earth, Gaia, whatever you call it, it has a specific purpose. Today, I mean, when I come home, I am so tired, bro, right now. And I've been like this for weeks, but you know what I did today? I got a 4-hour sleep last night, and I had to be somewhere, came back out here and I jumped in my truck and I went out, jumped on my tractor, went over and spent time with the horse. Completely filled my soul. 30 minutes just petting, talking the horse, having a conversation like I'm talking to you, talking about stuff, you know, and grabbing my chainsaw, breaking my back, filling my bucket up on my tractor, you know, with firewood. And I can tell you, just it's the greatest time of life for me, because all these years I've never wanted to just get, you know, get around a tree or get back to where my roots are. And it's rebalancing everything about my soul and my life. And it's
I have to say the same thing. I don't have a horse, but I have a donkey. So I have my donkeys and, you know, the thing is, and I get it, because I spent all my life, you know, at best having at least having a condo, a townhouse, and then at most having a little house with maybe, you know, a quarter acre there. But I tell you what, whether you are, you know, you're able to have a nice piece of land or not, but get out there and just like turn off, park your phone somewhere else, and just go out there and just walk around, and then you will understand that we were actually given this land, this America, the beautiful. We were given it to us. It's our dominion, and it's just a matter of taking it back. That's it. It's ours. God gave it to us, mm-hmm. and it's ours. And I love it too. This tour has been very long and wonderful, but difficult. I mean, we're exciting. I was on the road, like, you got to see my Hilton's Honor points with it. I've been doing nothing but staying in hotels, but now I'm really happy to be back for these next 2 months. I don't think I have to go out again until January, when me and you are going to be in Nashville. But, you know, I'm going to get just basically rest my soul and just enjoy the outdoors for a little while. And I think everyone should. And you can go out there and just walk around a little bit.
Yeah, by the way, I'm going to get a donkey too, because those things will kick the shit out of coyotes. Protect everything.
the donkeys are the ranch's police. They watch over your property for you. They're brutal, man. They kick and they'll bite, and they'll protect.
Yeah. They'll go after a grizzly if it walks onto their property, like, you better go.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, they're fierce. They're fearless. I had a thought I was going to throw out there. It must be something that has drawn me. And again, we're focused on this thing about getting grounded back to the planet. If we would all do that, all of us, I think it'll pacify us with this ideological tension we have politically and all that. Because we've lost that. We're in concrete jungles, stacked on top of each other in cities. Jefferson warned this about us. He said he did not want to see America become where people piled on top of each other in cities like the cesspools of Europe. That was his words back then, because it does rob you spiritually. And I had that point again, and I remembered it, and I forgot it again.
Okay, go ahead.
What I can say, here's what I used to do for whatever reason. I used to live in Summerlin in Las Vegas. Mount Charleston is not very far away, and there's some days on a weekend, I just get in a car, and I would take off. I'd find some remote place, Mount Charleston, park my vehicle, and throw on a backpack, strap on my weapon, and have boots. And I'd have food, and I'd have a composition book. And then I would scale, you know, not straight up walls, but I would scale walls at Mount Charleston, get up somewhere really high where I have a long view. And then I would just sit there all day just thinking. I'd write poetry, just spend the day there by myself, like just. It takes a lot to get, you know, in one of those positions where it's totally peaceful. And you're always kind of looking over your shoulder a little bit in case there's a bear or something, or, you know, mountain lion's going to jump you. You never really know what can happen. But that's why I always carried weapons. Even in a federal park, when it was illegal to carry weapons, I'm like, go fork yourself, you political scumbags. You're not going to let me, you know, I always carried weapons.
Should I tell them the story about New York? Should I tell the story?
Yes.
We're laughing. We're laughing about when you, the Patriot Street Fighter, went to New York.
Yeah.
I think you're safe now.
That's a backhand, Letitia James. A backhand. That's what that is. A backhand to you. I escaped from New York. And oh, hold on. I'm going to pick it up. Just for the record, you scumbag, Letitia James. There it is. That's what it was. It was my toy gun. Yeah, that's what it was. It was a toy gun, this one right here. See, it's plastic. Criminals. These freaking criminals. Political scumbags and criminals they are. Anyways, Letitia James, you will never be in George Magazine. Never. So, anyways, sorry, I get a little provocative, sorry. And I kind of act like that. Kind of have to act like that donkey sometimes. But so... Take it away, Gene.
Hey, I just want to say to everyone, just get out there. We got some time. You know, get out there. You know, one thing I will say about this is it's interesting. You know, I know there's more to the story, but the Tower of Babel, you know, God didn't, I don't think really he intended us to live on top of each other in that and never have our feet, what they call grounded, like you say, the concrete jungles. I mean, I hate to be, I'm not like all nature boy here, but there's something to be said about just getting out there in nature and just chill, be one with it for a while.
Anything like having a garden, right? I'm going to get some chickens, just have chickens, get back to having like natural food, like bringing your own eggs in the chicken coop every day, just things like that.
I have 40 chickens right now. So every day, I mean, and my neighbors come because they want eggs. We trade them eggs for venison, and it's
that's so cool.
It's really, I think this is the life that God intended for us to really, you know, take dominion over the land. And we'll talk more about that later because there's a lot of good information, and it's interesting, and you'll read about it in George. Really, it's I think that's how God intended us to live, to be honest.
Yeah, and you know what? I have in the last, since we've been so busy, Gene, I don't know about you, but I have to go to other podcasters and talk to some of my friends like, hey, what's going on? Like, we just had two Q drops, right, in the last 2 days, which are pretty exciting. But there's a lot of stuff, the minutia of what's going on with Durham, all these processes. I'm completely checked out because of what we've been doing for like the last year. And you know what? I don't even have to know all this that's going on. It's like, what's happening? Like, what's going on right now? The election right now, 7 minutes here in Dallas, the polls are going to close. And most people, I would always in my life be glued to the TVs like this, watching, you know, if I wasn't working elections, just watching them. I mean, holy glued, you know, tension, looking at everything. What are the numbers tonight? What's going to happen? I'm not going to say I could care less. But I couldn't care less right now. Why?
No, I will explain the world that me and you have lived in this past year. I call it my canary in the mine. And like we know Eric's on the tour. We talked to Eric. She hasn't been there, but I know his wife Laura Trump. And you know, I look at all these people and I say to myself, they are my canary in the mine. If they are out there smiling and they know and feel the confidence that whether God's in control or who's in control, whatever, that no one's there worried. When you go backstage at a Reawaken tour and you have all these people, Cash Patel, Mike Lindell, everything, we're here to inspire and we're here to give courage to people. And I sense the enthusiasm. And I sense goodness coming from it. And so with that, it inspires me even more. And I know that's what you see. while the rest of the world is seeing all these high inflation prices, high gas prices, I couldn't even imagine you and your bus there. And it's tough, but we're looking bigger picture than that. We see what's really going on in America, and there's going to be good coming, and it's coming, and it's coming quickly.
Yeah, and we've had the privilege, Gene, of seeing the people rise. I mean, that's the greatest thing. Going on tour last year, in May of last year, running it through, you know, through all of this, and being in front of tens of thousands of people that have never done anything in terms of serving the community, their state, their country, but they're coming out everywhere. They want to tell the stories of, I'm doing this. I wouldn't have ever done this if it wasn't for you.
Right.
I wouldn't have said, I'm not going to wear a mask. You can fire me because you guys just made, you know, gave us backbone. We heard all that, but you made a very important point. And this is the best, is Eric Trump. By the way, Eric, if you see this, much love to you, brother. But I was convinced you would be dead ass boring on a stage with a microphone. I am telling you, I don't know why. By the way, this dude's a monster. He's like 18.
I know.
He's huge.
He is very, very tall.
His armpits like right here on top of my head. I'm looking, I'm holding onto his knees like this, you know, huge. And, but he is absolutely, inspiring. He's funny as hell, right? Obviously, he's incredibly smart. I mean, he runs Trump International. Yeah. But if anybody's made a surprise, huge impression on me, is Eric Trump. And he's such a cool guy. He's the coolest guy. But he makes his message to these crowds so entertaining and so fun. He'd be like, you know, Hunter Biden's done this. I mean, what if I did just one of those things? What do you think they would do to me? You know, and he's investigated. It's funny to have him tell the story because he's been hammered and he just laughs about it. But the cool thing is, it's just like the day of the Biden state funeral on January 20th of 2021 or 23rd, whatever that was, the Biden state funeral, the 5-gun salute for Biden. Trump, a 21-gun salute that the military through protocol does for the commander in chief, and all of them. I mean, they're all, it's like the send off for Donald Trump. They stole the election. Donald's going to be heading out of town, gets a 21-gun salute. Mark Meadows, the Trump boys, everybody's excited. And Donald is basically heading out of town because, quote unquote, they stole the election. And I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Like watching this, like this, something's going on here, right? Forget the 21-gun salute, but these guys are having a good, they're basically slapping high fives on their way out of DC, having vacated the White House. I'm like, there's shit going on here, folks. And they know it. And they're like, this is going to be awesome. And then you have Eric on stage. You're like, oh yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Am I right?
Yeah, no, and the other thing about it, I'm telling you, it's funny because you have, when you take the stage and we're there, and like I said, guys, if you go to George Online, look for the video with Scott and my son, but backstage there, General Flynn, he hangs out backstage. He watches you, and then we're laughing together at some of the things you say, like if you're going to sugarcoat it and all that stuff, and we're having Flynn was on the floor, and I heard your talk many times, and I just love it. But it's a, like I said, it's a great time backstage. But you know, these are the people, hate to say it like this, but they're in the know. They see it, and they see America moving in the right direction, which is number one, we needed to wake up, and number two, people just had to get off their asses and just do something, get involved, and that's what has happened. And that's what the Reawaken Tour has inspired Americans to do. Donald Trump, of course, inspired Americans to do. And that's why, I'm telling you, America has changed. And it took a long time to get to this point, but we are here. People have waken up.
Yeah, America has changed. And I'll say this to you, folks, and it's my message all the time. It has been for decades, literally. But I always try to explain, like, look, people – you know, they have a reverence for you, Gene. They'll have a reverence for me. And I say, look, I know what you think. I know exactly what you think about me because I hear it from thousands of people all the time. Let me just share a secret with you. Not one part of it's true. Not one piece of it, whatever it is you think about me, right? I'm just an average guy. I know, I people know I don't lie. And number two, I live with me. I see what I do and what, you know, so you look at us and you think, I want to do something, but I could. Trust me, everything that I have done in my life from the time I was a little kid to go do it, I was scared shitless. I was scared to go to baseball practice, Little League, when I was in my town because we had bullies and I might get roughed up. I was scared because after basketball practice in junior high, I'd have to run home after, hurry up and get my shower and my bag and run out the door because Richard Corrigan was going to beat me up. Yeah. You know, I could go through every story standing on a competitive bodybuilding stage, you know, going in the weight room, being the weakest guy in 10th grade of the whole team, 67 people, the weakest guy of 67 rank ordered. There I am, deadline. Every single thing I've ever done, I've been scared shitless.